Hi, folks. Bob Main here with another episode of today's Survival Show, helping you do what you can with what you have wherever you are. If you're a relatively new listener, this is a practical show. I am just an everyday guy, folks. I'm not some kind of a preparedness and survival writer, author, speaker, trainer, anything like that. I'm just a regular dude going through life trying to prepare for what might happen. This is not a tinfoil hat kind of podcast, though. I keep this rooted in common sense. See, my goal is to take a positive approach towards preparedness. I like to think the best, but prepare for the worst. So I like to think about the fact that, well, the best outcome is going to happen, but man, the way the world's going today, the way the world's set up politically, financially, and all the stuff that's going on, I just don't know. And so I am not taking any chances, folks. I don't know about you. There are some things we can prepare for, and there are some we can't. So I take a common sense approach, and I think about, okay, what is it that we can prepare for? And that's what I'm going to set out to do. And I like to do this podcast and share it with you. This episode, I believe, is episode 178. I'm in my car headed out to a business appointment right now. Anyway, I wanted to say that I have not done a podcast talking about pets. So the name of this podcast is Prepping for Your Pets. Now, you know, we have to think about our animals and our pets that we own because they can be a great sense of joy in stressful times, can't they? I know that our dog has brought some smiles to our face sometimes, even when we're facing a lot of adversity in our family. In the past, that's happened. And I tell you what, it's going to be a real sad day when we lose our little dog. She is just, she's a small little dog. She's a little Bichon Frise. She's getting old. And so that day is going to come. And I hate to think about that. So we get emotionally attached to our pets, and so do our children. And so that's why I think it's important that if the stink hits the fan sometime, and you know, you got your kids there and people are stressing out, I hope you've prepared for your pets. I hope you can keep your pets alive and well as also, because they can give you some very good emotional support. I think you'll probably agree with me on that. So, Mr. Clay Bradley does another podcast called the Understanding Your Pets podcast. And you can find it at understandingpets.net, and you can also find it on iTunes if you search Understanding Pets podcast. So that's pretty cool. I never heard of a pet podcast before. So you'll hear us talk about that, and I'll put a link in the show notes to everything that we talk about. And by the way, the show notes I like to put on the forum as well. So join today's Survival Show forum. You can lurk there without becoming a member if you'd like, but I'd like to have you join. Do me a favor. If you join the forum, please send me an email, bob@todayssurvival.com. Send me an email and tell me that you've joined the forum and tell me what your username is. Okay, the reason I want you to do that is a lot of spammers are trying to get in, and I'm trying to keep spammers out. I'll approve your account right away as soon as I get the email, so just email me at bob@todayssurvival.com and say, hey, I've joined the forum, here's my username, please approve my account. And my guest on this show is also a member of the forum, so if you want to ask him questions directly, go ahead and do that. So go to where it says comments about podcasts, and you'll see a link in the thread for episode 178, I believe. And one more announcement, my Survival Champions Club podcast. That's a premium podcast. My latest version features Wade in Louisiana talking some more about using herbs for nutrition, medicinal purposes, and they can be good sources of nutrition and energy if the stink hits the fan too. You should be growing, storing, and harvesting herbs. It's only $15. It's a premium podcast. It contains info I've never covered on today's Survival Show before. Just go to todayssurvival.com. You can click the Buy Now button to get your copy, $15, and I will email you directions on how to get that. You can download it, save it to your iPod, your Droid device, your iPad, whatever you've got to store audio stuff. You can do that real easily. It'll be yours to keep. Plus, it helps support my show and the efforts that I do here. So if you can find it in your heart to do that, go to todayssurvival.com and click the Survival Champions Club podcast link or the Buy Now button. All right, without any further fanfare and stuff like that, how about just a quick intermission here, just a little musical break, and then Clay Bradley with the Understanding Pets podcast will join me to talk about preparing for your pets, too. Stay tuned. Okay, my special guest for this episode is Clay Bradley out of North Carolina. He listens to the show, and he's also another podcaster. He has what's called the Understanding Pets podcast. How you doing, Clay?
Doing all right. How about you?
Good. Thanks for coming on today's Survival Show. And, you know, this pets subject is something I've never covered, so I'm really glad you took the opportunity to come on with me.
Absolutely. And it's something that a lot of people usually don't think about, mainly because they get the animal, they get the pet, they bring it to have great intentions. You know, I really want to take care of this pet. I'm going to bring it to my family. But then all of a sudden, they kind of forget about the what could happen.
Yeah.
That's part of what the whole reason why we do the or I do the podcast.
And your Understanding Pets podcast can be found at understandingpets.net. Is it also on iTunes?
It is on iTunes. Unfortunately, I'm not very computer, and so I'm having to work out some issues with them on the picture and all that good stuff. But we are on iTunes. You can go on there and find it through Understanding Pets Podcast.
Okay. Okay, good. And I'll put a link in the forum, as I always do, for this show and everything like that. So, well, welcome to the podcast business and the podcast realm. And like I said, you know, the pet subject is something that I haven't covered, but I think it's very important because, you know, if the stink hits the fan, our pets are going to give us some emotional support. Don't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
So talk about it. Let's start with some basic pets first, because you know, most everybody has dogs and cats. What do you suggest prepping for them?
Actually, that question that you just gave me was kind of cut out a little bit. What was the question?
Yeah, we're having some internet challenges to all the listeners. Let's start with some of the basic pets, dogs and cats, stuff like that. Talk about those, about prepping for those.
The best idea or the best advice that I can give anyone is to prepare. Plan out. I mean, generally, you know, you sit down and think about your family, you know, what you're going to do for your family if, you know, if the feces is the off. You know exactly where you're going to go, exactly what you're going to grab. Well, a good idea, and especially what my wife and I do, because we have a hamster and we have a guinea pig. And basically what we do is I know exactly, I'm going to grab the guinea pig, I'm going to grab Omelet, and I'm going to bail out. She's going to grab the hamster. And she's gonna bail out. So we have our. So it's very, very, very important for everyone to know what they're gonna do. I've done a lot of podcasts about prepare and getting your dogs ready, getting your cats ready, and stuff like that. Like having a emergency a place where you're at if something does happen.
Yeah. You know what? We had a little bit of an internet connection problem there. Are you saying having an emergency kit prepared for your pets?
Well, yeah. Definitely have something like that. But have like an emergency kennel that you can take your dogs to.
Oh, emergency kennel. Okay.
Yeah.
Like what would be an example of an emergency kennel?
Well, I mean, anything. Actually, I have a friend that she used to have a kennel that she would run. And people would call her up and say, hey, I live, you know, X amount of miles away. If something happens, do you mind if I bring my dog to you? And she's like, oh, of course, of course. So people have already thought about this, which is a great thing. But if, you know, your bug out location is between, you know, and you know, you want to find a place somewhere in the middle or actually at your bug out location where you can take your dog to or your cat for that matter, if for just in case you have to live, you have to stay in a motel room or a hotel room if for some reason it's bad enough. What's really cool, something that I looked up on the government website. I think it's the CDC or I can't remember who's in charge of the whole preparing thing, but basically they said that sometimes you can find hotels that will relax their pet policies if something happens. If you know, like Katrina, for instance.
Right.
There's a lot of companies that said, you know what, go ahead and bring your dogs, bring your cats, bring your animals. It's okay. We'll just pay to have the entire place cleaned once done and over with.
Yeah, let me say something about that too, because I'm in the hotel security business. So I want to let everybody know, La Quinta hotels have a mandatory pet policy. It means that they have to accept pets. Did you know that?
That is really cool. I didn't know that.
Yeah. So let me encourage people. You know, if you're getting out of Dodge, if there's some kind of an emergency and you have to evacuate, look for La Quinta hotels. They're almost everywhere. They're one of my major customers, and I learned in doing business with them that they have to accept pets, primarily dogs and cats. They have to take them.
Well, something else that needs to be, I guess, thought of when you get a dog, they think, well, I'm looking for something that has energy or the lack thereof, just depending on the energy of the owner. I'm looking for something that's small, something big. Know your pet, know your dog or cat. And the reason I say that is because you can have, let's say, one of the coolest dogs in the world is a pug. And pugs mm-hmm. have the flat face. Well, if you have a flat-faced dog and you're having to bug out in the summertime, you're going to have a whole mess of problems because they don't do well in high heat, high humidity.
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah. It's from what I understand, it's pretty bad. And so just understanding that and being able to take preparations to take care of something like that. So let's say the power goes out during the summertime and you have a flat-faced dog, or you have a dog for – it doesn't matter. But – you need to kind of think of different things you can do to keep that dog from overheating, because dogs will overheat really easy.
Yeah.
And you'll never know it.
Yeah, so you need to understand the limitations of the pets that you have.
Exactly. And a couple of things that my partner and I, my business partner, she has a pug. And basically, and I don't have a dog right now. I'm looking to getting a dog eventually, but the place that I live now, the landlord said nope. But basically, you know, she said that what she has done to kind of prepare is she got a little baby pool for him.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't know this. I probably should have, but I didn't. And she told me this a couple days ago that if your dog looks like it's overheating, you get your dog to stand in that baby pool. And because the dog sweats through their paws, through the pads in the paws, you can effectively cool them off by letting them stand in that pool.
Yeah, that's interesting. All right, so that's one way that she gets that dog to cool off.
Also, her mother used to they breed pugs, mm-hmm. so her mother used to make a jacket for them that basically had little pockets all in it, and it had silica gel that was in it that she would put in the refrigerator, and when they would go outside and be outside for long periods of time, she would put that jacket on the pug, and it would cool the pug off.
Cool.
Yeah, so, I mean, I doubt you can find anything like that, but that's just that I'm going to set stone. You know, what I'm trying to give my listeners and your listeners is a stepping stone, you know, a jumping block to where they can go, okay, well, I can search different things like this and figure things.
Yep, sorry. Repeat that again because we had a little bit of a drop-off.
Okay. Yeah. Basically, what I'm trying to do is give my listeners and your listeners a stepping stone or a jumping block where mm-hmm. you guys can take this information and absolutely run with it and come up with your own really cool ideas.
Yeah. So, all right. I'm going to let you have the floor because I've asked kind of some leading questions here so far. But what do you want to tell people about prepping for pets?
Well, one other thing about the dogs and cats that I thought was kind of funny. I've done a lot of, I guess, on the floor research kind of thing, where I work as a pet store employee. I want to associate myself with that business. It's not because I don't like the business. It's just because I'm trying to run my own. But pretty much, I've looked at their first aid kits, and they're hilarious. They're absolutely hysterical because they put Band-Aids in them. And if you've ever tried to put a Band-Aid on your head, this doesn't go for the people that don't have hair, but, you know, people like me that have a full head of hair, you know, you try to put a Band-Aid on that, it doesn't work. So you're gonna have to go through and figure out your own different things that you're going to put in there. But, and what's cool, I've done a podcast on first aid kits and things that you should put in there, you know, for occasions, different things like, you know, like the wraps that you get, you know, when you go to give blood, they give you that shrinking wrap kind of thing that holds onto itself.
Right.
You can find those at pet stores. I mean, you can really deck out your first aid kit to make it.
So, Clay, what you're saying is that the first aid kits sold in pet stores are a joke.
The ones that I've seen, yes.
Yeah.
they make for a good laughing matter when you're drinking coffee with your friends.
Now, you know what? For the listeners' benefit, I want to let everybody know, Clay works for a major pet store. I won't say the name of it, but you work for a major pet store, don't you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, all right. So the first aid kits, people are probably going to have to be making up their own for their pets.
Right. And understand that a lot of things that you can put in your first aid kit can also go into your pet's first aid kit.
Well, that's what I thought.
Thing is a puppy Benadryl. Yeah. I mean, you just have to know puppy doses and understand that you're not going to give your puppy a whole bottle of Benadryl if he gets stung and his face starts to swell.
What is it? Do you know what a puppy dose of Benadryl is?
Not off the top of my head. And I'm almost afraid to say anything like that, to give doses, because I'm not a vet.
I would say that people should check with their veterinarian and find out what the puppy doses are for some of these medications and then either write those down or keep them in a safe place stored somewhere.
Exactly.
You know, and maybe have a little emergency medication kit for your pets, especially if you have a puppy.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
But something that's really unique to us and to my show, or our show rather, is that we don't just talk about dogs and cats. We actually talk about more exotic animals like fish, reptiles, birds, small animals, and pretty much anything that my audience would want to learn about. I mean, out of that, or elephants or stuff like that.
Yeah. You know what? I want to ask you a question, Clay, before you get into some of the exotics, because this is something that I've always wondered, and I think I know what your answer is going to be, but I want you to say it anyway. Why should people prepare for their pets?
Because your pets are part of your family.
Exactly. They are. They're part of the family. And what do pets typically provide for people in an emergency situation?
Well, do you want the long version or the short version? Because I can get real in-depth with it.
Well, give us the short version first and then go into the long version.
I mean, honestly, it gives the person a sense of security. It gives the person the sense of normality because, you know, obviously right now I'm sitting in my home office. My guinea pig's in the other room hopping around doing his thing. My hamster's dead asleep, and everything's normal. But, you know, let's take something that rocks the foundation. You know, I have to bug out. I have to, and my wife's out of town right now, but, you know, it takes something that was normal. A disaster basically absolutely tears it to pieces, and your pet provides you normality that you're looking for.
Yeah, exactly. It gives you the normality. It gives you the emotional uplift and support, doesn't it?
Absolutely.
You know, especially dogs and cats, because a lot of people get so attached to their dogs and cats. I know you get attached to some of your more exotic pets, too. But they're part of the family. They're an emotional attachment. And it's something that seems to be overlooked by a lot of people. I mean, I know that there are people that have talked about on our forum and some of the other forums I looked at, they talk about preparing for their pets. But I wanted to bring you on to give people some ideas on how to get more serious about it.
Yeah.
So get more into depth if you want.
Oh, I mean, if as long as you're taking into consideration that, okay, well, I know my dog. I know if, you know, something happens, if it's the wintertime, I have a jacket for my dog. I have a carrier for my dog. I can throw everything in my car and get out of Dodge. But, I mean, as long as you're doing stuff like that, you're golden. But like I said, just you understand who's going to get what and what your responsibility is if something happens. Like I said, my wife's out of town for this weekend. And so my responsibility is 100% everything. But if, you know, she's here, she gets half the work, and I get half the work, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, you know, the other thing I thought about is there are some people that have pets that are actually service animals, like service dogs, for example. So if somebody's listening to this that has a pet for that purpose, even more so you have to prepare because you're going to need that service animal.
Absolutely. And something that I've done with for my animals is, of course, you know, I have fish, and unfortunately there's not much I can do for that. They're just going to have to fend for themselves and, you know, hope for the best. But
right.
or I've got little, I guess, mini bug out bags for my animals. You know, I've got extra food. I've got, of course, you know, I've got water purification and water stuff in my bag, so that can help with them. Mm-hmm. But I've got little cozy blankets and little things like that that my little animals can really use while, you know, if I'm, you know, like I said, getting out of Dodge.
Yeah. You know, I mean, Alan, in our family, I have one dog. We have one dog, a little Bichon Frise. But let me tell you what, she is not only part of our family, we're just so incredibly emotionally attached to her. And if an emergency happens, I just cannot see not having her with us. So we've got some preps made. You know, we kind of have, it's not really a bug out bag, but it's a little, sort of like a little emergency kit of some of the essentials that we need to keep her going as well.
And you know what's really cool? They make a kind of a book bag kind of thing where it's like a saddle for mm-hmm. your dog that has mm-hmm. pouches on the sides of it. And you can definitely deck that out with some dog treats and some
really? Where do you get one of those?
I don't know. You'd probably find a lot of them on the internet. I don't think we have them in our pet store. And of course, you know, I don't really sell anything on my web. You can probably find them everywhere on the internet.
Okay, good idea. Didn't think about that. So talk a little bit more about prepping for some of the more common animals, and then go ahead and get into some of the exotics if you want.
As long as with a lot of your dogs, like your service, like your German Shepherds and stuff like that, I've never tried this because I don't have a German Shepherd yet, but my wife's not too happy about that, but she gets her little dog. But if the dog's really pulling you, if you give that dog a job, like if you're walking the dog and it's like dragging you down the road, if you give that dog a job, like carrying this bag, he or she is actually going to slow down and take things a lot more serious. That would definitely be something that you would want to try, something that you would want to go ahead and do before something happens. But
yeah,
I definitely look at. But
well, I would suggest. Well, sorry to interrupt you. I would suggest that people, if you have a young pet right now, I would suggest that if you're a prepper, maybe while your animal is young, start training them to do things like that.
Very good idea. Very good
idea. You know, start training them to be able to carry things.
And what's really, if you go to training classes, it's not really your trainer is not really training the dog as much as they're training you to train the dog.
Exactly.
And yeah. it's really funny to see that now that I know what I'm looking for, because, you know, let's face it, you know, I've met a lot of trainers, I've talked to a lot of trainers, and they're really cool people, really really smart. But you can take a full course. And for a couple $100s, which if you break down how much you learn, it's actually pretty comparable to what you would pay for. Basically, you can think of this as like a one-time course deal where you don't have to take your dog. You know, you get this dog, you train it, you go through your basic levels, and then you get up to your really advanced levels. It's not like you're going to have to go back with another dog to do the same. You can take the knowledge and the skills that you learned in that first class and train all of your dogs that way.
Yeah. Well, sure. Yeah. I mean, you know, like you said, they're really training the owner at the same time that they're training the pet.
Right.
Okay.
So part of your preps, you know, may be going and getting a training class. and talk to them about, talk to the trainer about it. Is, hey, look, you know, you don't have to say I'm a survivalist and I want to make sure I can walk for miles and miles, but just say, you know, I want to be able to go on extended walks with my dog, and, you know, like to go hiking or something like that, and I want to be able to know how to train my dog to not lunge out at other dogs as they see him walk by, and be able to hold one of the little packs that you can get for them.
Yeah. Hey, I have a question for you, Clay. Is dog food and cat food storable for long periods of time?
It can be. As long as you rotate it through, you can store up a good bit.
Yeah. Well, just like rotating your normal, you know, human food preps, you need to do the same thing with your pet food.
Right. And what's cool is pet food actually, not all is the same. And the expensive stuff is not always just hype. And I used to think, well, you know, I can get this one bag of dog food for $20 or I can get dog food for $40. Mm-hmm. There's actually a really big difference between the two other than price and pictures and stuff like that, where your lower end, your lower quality would be the $20 one. You're actually going to pay $40 in the long run, no matter what, because you're going to buy that dog food twice.
Why is that?
Well, you're going to buy one in the first of the month and around about the middle of the month or so. Where the reason why is because the main ingredient, if you look on the ingredients in the bag, you'll see the first ingredient. And what's cool is that's the main ingredient. And so the first ingredient with most of your dog foods is going to be corn, like chicken meal or something like that. And to let you guys know what meal is, chicken meal is the parts of chicken that they won't let us eat. That not the chicken breast or anything like that. It's the beaks, it's the head, it's the bones, it's the feet, stuff like that.
Yeah, stuff we don't want.
Right. And they'll put that in the dog food, and they'll use fillers and stuff like that. Well, your dog doesn't stay full as long, and he poops a lot more. So what happens is your dog doesn't feel full as longer, so it's going to eat more. Well, you're more holistic, you're more your better foods, your more expensive ones, unfortunately, are the ones that have whole chicken or whole salmon or whole whatever. And granted, it's going to cost you, but it's going to cost you a lot less over time, I guess you can put it. It's kind of like eating fast food all the time, or it's more like home-cooked meals all the time. So your dog's not going to I don't want to say it's going to live a lot longer with less complications, but I mean, kind of put that same idea into context with, eating fast food all the time or eating holistic meals all the time, you know,
sure.
You're
going to
be overall healthier.
Well, yeah. And you know, in an emergency situation, I think a lot of people make a mistake and they think about, you know, well, I can just eat cheap foods. And a lot of people store cheap, unhealthy, not quite so nutritious foods, and I think that's a huge mistake, you know. And I think the same probably holds true for your pets, because you never know how long the emergency is going to last. But eating healthy, I think, you know, with the stress of some kind of an emergency or disaster situation, you want to have healthy foods available. And I think the same probably goes for your pets.
Right. And when you're stressed, your animals are stressed. And if you think, well, I can really expensive food, I can store the good food and just actually feed them the cheaper food, that's a bad idea. Because just like for you, if you change your diet, all of a sudden when you're stressed out, your belly's not going to agree with you.
Yeah, when same you're stressed out is the wrong time to change your diet.
Right, same way with your dogs. And if you've ever tried switching your dog food up, all of a sudden your dog's belly doesn't agree with them at that point either. So,
yeah.
You know, just being like I said, the best thing you can do is store what you feed them.
Yeah, and that'd probably be the wrong time to change up a diet is after some kind of a stink hit the fan event.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Good. Well, get into some of the exotics if you want.
Well, one of my favorite topics, fish. You know, I'm going to go ahead and put it out there. I'm a nerd, and I guess you can put up my drug of choice is definitely chemistry and physics. Love
cool.
it. I
cool.
love it. And that's why I like fish so much, is because you're dealing with a lot of chemistry, a lot of water chemistry. And I love how the chemistry works within itself, and it relies on each on other chemicals. But I'm not going to get into all that stuff. I've gone over that stuff on my podcast. But basically, the one thing that I can really help people out with is if the power goes out. You know, if it comes through and rocks the foundation off the knocks the house off the foundation, you're not a whole lot to deal with your fish at that point.
Exactly, your fish are probably toast as well.
Right, they've probably been put in the earth, and you know you can say that you can plant a flower over top of them because that flower is going to look really good.
Exactly, but if the power goes out, what do you do?
Well, you have a couple of things that you have to worry about. The first thing is the deoxygenation of your water. And understand that if you have a – let's go with the most common fish tank that you ever – it's going to be a 10-gallon tank because a lot of people don't want to invest a whole lot of money because they're afraid, okay, well, maybe I won't like this. And so they're not going to invest in this huge 150-gallon tank. So the one most of – this is a 10-gallon tank because people want to get it. They're like, oh, this is so cool, and they'll put too many fish in it or they'll put the wrong kind of fish. So – as long as you've got normal fish in the tank, if you're not putting like a bunch of goldfish in this 10-gallon tank, you're okay. Mm-hmm. Your oxygen saturation is not going to be the deoxygenation of your water is not going to be as rapid as if you do have a lot of big fish in it. And you're pretty much fine for 24 to 48 hours. But like I said, it will diminish over time. A check. 5 hours or so to mm-hmm. see if your fish are reacting to a low level of oxygen. Do that is if you see your fish, normally your fish are swimming all around your tank, upper layer, middle layer, lower layer. Mm-hmm. If your fish are spending a lot more time at the top layer, like guppying at the top, you know, they're trying to grab that air.
Yeah.
That's how you know that your tank has a very, very low level of oxygen. The best thing there's three different things you can do. The one that I would the best thing to do is what I would call the pour method. And basically, you take a pitcher, like a 1-quart pitcher or whatever, mm-hmm. dip out some of the water, hold it about 2 foot over top of the tank, and pour it back in. And what that does is that kind of acts like your filter, where your filter dumps water back into your tank. And makes that oxygen go throughout the whole tank. That'll do the same thing.
Yeah, it disperses the oxygen more evenly throughout the tank.
Right. And you just repeat that for a couple of minutes, and that should be fine. Normally, your power outages, I say normally, and I don't know, a lot of people have experienced the really, really long durations, but, something that's going to last for a couple of days, maybe 1 or 2 days. This right here would be perfect to do every couple of hours. Just do this. But something that's going to last over a really, really long period of time, you're going to have to go into a little bit more extreme ways of oxygenating that water.
Yeah.
The second thing that I would say that you could do, and this is something you can actually put in your preparations that you can buy now, and I wouldn't use it because it's battery operated. But you can store the batteries and have this ready to go. It's a battery operated air pump, and I haven't seen these on the sales floor lately. So you may only be able to find them on the internet. I don't know any really good brand names because I've never used them before. But it's basically just like an aerator, a really basic aerator that you'd find at your pet stores, and you just pop your batteries in and it runs.
And it's an air pump, so it's going to pump oxygen into the tank as well.
Yes, it's going to pump oxygen back into your system. And my partner told me that it was it's called Silent Air, is the brand name that you can look.
Silent Air. All right. So people who are going to Google that, Silent Air battery air pump.
Sure.
Okay, I'll find that and I'll put a link to it as well.
And then. The last thing and something that do your research, do your math, do everything that you can do because this is the absolute easiest way to kill your fish if you don't know what you're doing. And like I said, this is an extreme case where, I'm getting out, but I'm going to come back, and I need my fish to be alive when I get back. And that would be to use hydrogen peroxide.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the hydrogen peroxide that your mom would put on your cuts that would bubble up, and you'd cry about it. You have the first thing you need to do is know your volume of water. If you have a 10-gallon tank, you've probably got about 8 gallons of water in it. And that's because you've displaced a lot of water with rocks, with decorations, and then half the time your tank's not even filled up to the brim anyway.
Right.
So know how many gallons of water that you have in there. And if you're going to do this, start off with a half dose. You want to put half of it in there instead of the full dose before you figure out how – see, I want to put this. You don't want to start off with the full dosage before you actually have experience doing this.
What does the hydrogen peroxide do?
It puts in an extreme amount of oxygen in the system.
Okay, but you got to be really careful with that because, like you said, you'll kill the fish.
Right.
If you're not careful and you don't know what you're doing, you'll kill the fish.
And a really good way of thinking about this is, right now I'm taking an EMT course because I'm trying to be a fireman. Absolute dream of mine. And basically my volunteer department is putting me through EMT course. And it's so much.
Oh, that's cool.
So much fun. So hard. But basically what they were telling me, and I'm bringing this back around, what they're talking about is – if you over-oxygenate somebody, you have to have CO2 in your system.
Mm-hmm.
You have a drive that basically works off of pH. If you've got too little carbon dioxide, and I'll probably get this wrong or backwards, too much oxygen will throw your pH off, and it'll kill you. Too much carbon dioxide will throw your pH off, and it'll kill you also, but not as not faster than basically asphyxiating you.
Mm-hmm.
But the main one I wanted you to hear was if you have too much oxygen, what you'll get is your fish are going to die from it because they don't have all of the nutrients that they need. Because if you look at pure water, it's going to be H2O. You look at a fish tank, you don't have just H2O. You've got a slew of different things that's floating around in there, including carbon dioxide. And if you don't believe me, that's why plants are able to grow in there. Because your plants need carbon dioxide to grow.
Oh, okay. I didn't think about that.
Yeah. So do aquatic plants. And so the more fish you have in there, the more carbon dioxide you have, the better your plants can grow. And, of course, along with the organic waste that they produce. But anyway, so you don't want to hyper – let's see what they – something like hyper saturation of the water, particularly oxygen.
Yeah. And, I mean, you don't want to hypersaturate it with oxygen, right?
Right.
Yeah.
And this is a very good way of doing that. If you now that you kind of understand, okay, well, I need a certain amount of this, certain amount of this, certain amount of this, too much oxygen, you're going to ruin your system. And so that's why I'm so cautious about telling people how to do this. But, and to let you know how much you would want to put in there, because I've heard a cap full per gallon. I've heard a bottle per tank or per 10 gallons. It's actually 1 teaspoon per 40 gallons.
That's what I thought. I thought it would be a very, very small amount. 1 teaspoon per 40 gallons. So, in other words, if you have a 10-gallon tank, you're talking a quarter of a teaspoon.
Yeah. I'm talking very, very, very little.
Very little. But by putting that hydrogen peroxide in there, that kind of gives it a – what exactly is that going to do to it?
It's just going to increase the oxygen saturation.
Okay. And if you're using a small amount like that, you're not going to kill your fish.
You hopefully won't kill your fish.
Yeah, but this is a method you really don't want to do unless you have to.
Right. And you don't just want to pour that in there either, because what you'll get is this little pocket of highly saturated oxygen, and all of a sudden your fish will go through it, and they'll go, whoa, 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 and then they'll croak.
So how do you want to apply it?
You go back to the pour method, and you start doing the pour method, we'll say for about a minute or so, and then you you pick up a pitcher of water, add your hydrogen peroxide, you pour it back into the tank. And then you continue to pour to where you continue the pour method so it's evenly spreading that hydrogen peroxide.
Okay. Now, let's back up for a minute because I think the best way, you were talking about the battery powered aquarium air pumps for people that have fish. And I just did a quick search here. There's one on Amazon.com right now, a silent air pump for like $21.
I missed that last bit.
I said there's one on Amazon.com right now, a silent air battery-powered aquarium pump for $21.
Cool.
Yeah. So I would think, you know, that's a pretty cheap prep if you have fish and you're worried about a power outage or you're bugging in or whatever. I would say probably get the $21 battery-powered pump, don't you think?
Absolutely. It's worth $21 to not have to worry about killing your fish.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So talk about stuff. I mean, maybe there's people that have hamsters and gerbils and stuff like that. I know you got them too. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, the only thing that you'd really have to worry about with your small animals would be mainly overheating. If the power goes out in the winter, or your hamster or your guinea pig or your gerbil, or for that matter, a chinchilla, which mm-hmm. You know, chinchillas are the big furry balls that are just absolutely adorable.
yeah.
They, you know, if you do what you normally do with your family and what my family did when the power went out, because, you know, back when I was little, we actually had cold winters.
Yeah, me too. I remember that too.
And the power a lot more often, it seemed like. Maybe it was just where I lived, because I lived in nowhere.
Oh, I'm sorry. We lost the connection. You lived where?
Out in Timbuktu. I mean, there's not a whole lot of people around. So I think the power company would more focus on the higher populated areas than our area at that point in time.
Mm-hmm.
But what we would do is pull everyone and pull out air mattresses and mattresses and stuff like that, light a fire, and we'd all sleep in that one area. Well, we would bring the dog and put him in that area with us. Well, my wife and I were talking about, well, what would happen if the power went out during the winter? And something that I've kind of talked to my listeners about is when you're prepping for winter, you want to prep for winter. You know, you don't want to prep for winter right in the middle of winter time, because you need to have your emergency action plans ready and to where you goes out,
yeah.
You're ready to go.
You prep for winter in the late summer and fall.
Right.
You so, prep for the summer, like now.
Right. So what we did was we brought omelet, we brought Houdini, we brought all the animals into the center or into the living room, and turned the or started a fire, and we were able to keep the living room pretty good feeling. I mean, it was a little bit chilly, but it wasn't that bad. But the fact of the matter is, we brought them to the center. So it's not really that hard to take care of your animals during the wintertime.
Mm-hmm.
During the summertime is when you have to worry, because, you know, you're not able to provide that the air conditioning, the climate-controlled environment. So the best thing I would say is have water bottles that are, you know, in your refrigerator, in your freezer, ready to go. If the power goes out, usually your power is not going to stay out for a very long time, hopefully. So be able to pull those bottles out and put them in the cage. Chinchillas, absolutely worst case scenario for them is having the power out during this.
Mm-hmm.
What we store during the summertime, because it gets really warm, marble slabs, and put them in the freezer, and we'll rotate that out where whenever the chinchilla gets hot, they can go and stand on that really cold marble slab.
Yeah, let's get back to some of the dogs and cats, too, for a minute. Wouldn't this also, I mean, as far as the summertime, you know, I have to worry about that here in Texas because we get the really nasty, nasty heat in the summertime. I would say probably just like a human, keep them hydrated, keep them with a good large supply of water, right?
Absolutely.
So for people who store water, well, everybody should be storing water. What am I saying? But people who are trying to figure out how much to store, you know, we talk about having a few gallons per day per person in your household. Don't forget to include your pets.
Good idea.
So if you got two extra pets, treat them like two extra people when you're storing water.
Right. And what I would do is about, I would say, at least a gallon per day per pet, and that's going to obviously give you a gross over prepping. I don't know how you'd have a lot extra, but you know, no one's ever really complained about having too much water preps.
Yeah, so you would say, depending like for an average dog or an average cat, a gallon of water per day per pet.
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, you can back that down to maybe a liter per day or something like that, but having that extra, having that water, that gallon per day, would actually be able to go towards them drinking it. If they get way too hot, pouring it on them, letting them stand in it. But what's really funny about cats, cats love the heat. Cats, they, their body temperature, from what I understand, their body temperature runs a little high anyway. And so during the summertime, you'll see your cats laying in the window where your dogs will be laying in the shade.
That's true. That's true.
From what my my partner keeps telling me is that when your cats, when if the power goes out during the summer, your cats are like, yeah, this is my kind of weather. You guys are hot? Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, and the dog's miserable.
Yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't really worry about your cats as much as your dogs.
Good point.
But, yeah, with your small animals, though, when the when I was living in Charlotte, we for some reason the air conditioner went out for the weekend, and it just so happened, you know, you don't get to pick the good times to for your air conditioner to go out. This actually happened about 7 o'clock after my landlord had left the office, and I don't have a personal number from him or anything like that, and you know, it's going to be the weekends and he's not going to be around. So we had the privilege of going through the middle of with two guinea pigs, one an elderly guinea pig and long haired, and my wife and I got to the luxury of staying in a 90-degree house. One thing that one thing that we did a lot of, and I'll tell you what made it worse is all of the houses faced inward. Faced a common center, and that center was the parking lot. That parking lot was that dark black asphalt, and it done a really good job of holding heat and putting that heat on us. But what we did is we took the guinea pigs from the upstairs and moved them actually down the kitchen with the cold linoleum. And during the day when we were home, we'd let them run around on the linoleum.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah, so I mean, just taking common sense steps to keeping them cool, and obviously thinking about it before something happens, to where you can go, oh well, the power's out, man. Well, let's go ahead and move the guinea pigs or find the kiddie pool or whatever you want to do. So you're not panicking.
Yeah, well, it sounds like what you're saying, Clay, is like we always say in the common sense survivalist community: have a plan.
Right.
Have a plan for your pets too.
Right. And from what one of my old fire instructors used to tell me was, you know, if you plan to fail.
Say that again.
If you fail to plan, you plan to fail.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, and no one fails to plan. I mean, excuse me, no one plans to fail. All they do is just fail to plan, like you said.
Right. And if you say that too much, you'll actually mess that up.
I know. I just messed it up saying it once. Yeah.
You should have saw all the smiling faces when Dr. Murphy messed that up a couple of times during class.
Yeah. Well, people knew what he meant, probably.
Yeah, but we still love to make fun of him.
All right. Well, we got about 4 or 5 minutes left because I don't want these to drag on too long, but this is really good stuff. So take the next 4 or 5 minutes to kind of make some closing points about preparing for pets.
Well, obviously, there's a lot more that goes on with taking care of pets during an emergency. There's obviously, I'm not going to be able to go through everything. Yeah. And even stuff like, well, I don't know their basic needs. You know, a lot of people come to the pet store and they go, I love this animal. I love how it looks. What do I need? Tells me, oh, man, you have not done any research. You don't actually know. And it bothers me that people do that. They make these spontaneous decisions. Well, if you don't know what you're getting yourself into, you're going to have a hard time understanding how to prepare for if something bad happens. And a lot of people don't like to look at that because, you know, a lot of people just – they like to stick their heads in the sand and believe nothing's bad's going to happen. And unfortunately, I'm one of the store that will say, you know, stuff may and will probably end up happening. So you do need to understand what to do if something happens, because you're not signing a contract, but you're signing what I would consider like a social contract, an unwritten contract that once you purchase, you're going to take care of it. And you're not
exactly.
you're not going to take the easy way out and say, well, the power's out, I can't do anything for them, so I'm just going to leave. It's not that easy. Hopefully, it's not that easy.
Gosh, my conscience wouldn't let me do that.
Neither would mine. But you'd be amazed on how many times something like that would happen, and the power would go out, and we would get an influx of what we call customer dumps at the store, where people would come up, put their animal in a box, and drop them off in front of the store and run off.
And, wow.
Yeah, and it got really bad, or started kind of going out a lot more in the area because they were doing work on the system. And people were freaking out, thinking, oh man, something happened. So just doing research, and that's what my podcast is pretty much all about. It's a jumping point. And we talk a lot about how to take care of animals and how to do all that good stuff. But we also talk about preparing for disasters and stuff like that. And I do have a secret agenda for the listeners of my podcast. And I know I'm letting it out by telling you about it, but I'm trying to get them prepared. I'm not just teaching them how to or telling them how to bring their pets into the family, but I'm trying to get them prepared for if something happens or when something happens.
Well, I think that's kind of a cool approach because you're talking about their pets, which is something they're interested in. You gain their interest by talking about how to better care for your pets, and then you're probably very gently and persuasively segueing into preparing for themselves as well.
Exactly, exactly. And
good job.
I appreciate it. If I was just to – and something I've said a lot – is if I was just to get on here and say, well, this is how you take care of a fish tank and this is how you take care of it, it would get really, really, really boring, and I would not have the listener following that I have.
Yeah.
The fact that I get animated on the show, the fact that I do get a little angry sometimes because people say really, really bad things, and I look out my back window and I see, this dog that is left outside that I love. It just absolutely angers me to see stuff like that.
A dog that's left outside and what? What's happening?
I have to take care of it. The owner comes home and puts out a water dish for him, and it's a puppy and he's on a chain. So he topples the thing over, and with our 72, not 72, with our 80 degree winters that we're having right now, he's out there and thirsting to death. He's out there. It looks like he's not very happy. So I'll go over there to play with him, of his water dish and stuff like that. And I don't want to. That's the reason I don't have a dog. But that's what I want to instill in people, is that when you purchase this animal, when you go and you say, I want to take care of this animal, I want to buy this animal, you are signing a contract, even whether you know it or not, that you're going to take care of this animal. And that's what I'm trying to instill in people with my
podcast. It just makes me want to slap those people up. I mean, don't you feel that way?
I've had a couple of choice words with them, and I don't want to involve authorities unless I absolutely have to, because that's going to create animosity between us, and I don't want them. I've explained to them the best ways of taking care of it, and they've taken steps to make everything better, to actually buy the puppy dog a collar. But just certain things like the water dish, I've gone out there with a shovel, dug a hole, stuck the bowl in the hole to where he's not going to turn it over. I mean, little things that you should think, well, if the bowl turns over a lot, maybe I should,
Frustrating. I know it. Well, Clay, this is good stuff. I mean, thanks for doing this. Talk again real quick before I let you go. Talk some more about your podcast, where people can find it, and some of the recent episodes that you've put up.
Well, pretty much you can find us at understandingpets.com. It's a
Understandingpets.net, right?
.net, not .com. For some reason, .com didn't work out. But it's understandingpets.net. We are on Facebook and YouTube and Twitter and all that good stuff. I put up a couple of videos on YouTube. But here recently, I've done an episode on what you should actually be preparing for with an aging pet. I've done just episode 89 was getting prepared for summer, kind of the things I talked a little bit about today. Every Friday, though, I do what's called a Friday customer question show where people that come into my store will ask me questions, and I'll just jot them down and repeat them on the show because I can't spend my normal 20 to 30 minutes talking about my water's doing this. Well, I can go ahead and talk about multiple subjects on that show. But, you know, we also talk about gardening and see what else. Getting your house pup. I mean, and even as far as, you know, caring for scorpions. You know, it's some people kind of cringe when they hear that. And I've actually had my mom called me and she was like, are you considering getting a scorpion? I'm like, no, I'm not considering getting a scorpion. But they're cool to talk about. And people own them. So that's what I need to talk about.
People do own them. Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's understandingpets.net. We're on iTunes. Like I said, we're on Facebook. We're very, very, very small right now. We have a following under 100 people right now. But I'm always open for suggestions, show suggestions. I do my research. I give credit for the research that I do. I do the best job I can. And it definitely shows. I feel like it definitely. Every person that's got on here and about it, they've said, you know, wow, this it's somewhat entertaining to listen to, and it's not an. I don't get on there and, you know, yell and cuss and things like that because I want it to be a level-headed show. And when you're bringing in profanities, it's, you know, granted, you know, I say them in regular life, but. It makes the show less professional.
Yeah, I agree. And that's why I try to keep my show profanity-free and stuff like that, too, because I want it to be a family-friendly show that people can listen to.
Yeah. And this is definitely something that you can pop into. You can put it on your MP3 player. You can put it on your phone. And I've got a program that works on the internet, that works on my website, that if you go on your smartphone, it's going to pull up a different type of site that doesn't take as long to load. Which really helps. And so, yeah, you can go on there and hit the play button and not worry about shielding your kids' ears when amped up.
Okay. Well, you have another listener in me. I'm going to start listening to it, especially I'm going to go to your episode on taking care of an aging pet because our dog's getting a little bit up there in years.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah.
I'd love
so,
to have you.
Well, and there'll be, hopefully I want to encourage people listening to this show, check out Clay's podcast at understandingpets.net, and he's also on iTunes. Now, when they go to iTunes, do they just search Understanding Pets?
Yeah, best thing to do is just type in Understanding Pets podcast, and you're going to see a little WordPress picture. And like I said, I'm not really savvy with iTunes, and in all honesty, iTunes has given me more grief than what I should really have to deal with.
Yeah,
but it's a necessary evil, and I don't mind going the extra mile for my listeners.
Good, Clay. Thanks for taking this time. This has been fantastic, folks. His name is Clay Bradley. You need to check out his podcast at understandingpets.net. And you just recently joined the forum, didn't you?
Yes, as of last night.
Okay, so if some of you listening to this have more questions for Clay, I will start a thread for this episode, post them there, and I'm sure he'll be responding to you quickly.
And what I'll do as an extra step, just for your listeners, if people want to get on there and put up show ideas, if you want to say, well, Clay, you didn't really talk about reptiles, and you didn't talk about birds, and I've got those, and I don't know how to take care. You know, if something happens, what should I do? You get on there, you let me know, and I'll do a podcast just for that. I'll do the research, and I've actually got the research sitting in front of me. We just ran out of time. But I will do a podcast specifically for any questions that come up if I can.
I'll tell you what, I'll go a step further. I'll have you back on, and we can do another interview on those topics. How's that?
That sounds absolutely wonderful, and I'd love to come back on and talk to you.
Good. Thank you, Clay. You have a good one, and I appreciate you coming on the show.
I'm so glad that you allowed me to come on the show, and you stay safe.
Keep prepping, okay?
Will do.
All right. Thank you very much, Clay. I appreciate you taking the time. That was pretty good stuff. Folks, I apologize for the spotty internet connection. I'm not sure what it is. When I do interviews from my home and I use Skype, I get this problem. When I'm on the road and I'm using other internet connections like in hotel rooms and things, it's not a problem. I got a feeling I've got a whacked out internet connection, and I think I'm going to be searching for a new ISP pretty soon. But anyway, folks, I'm going to make some calls here. I've come to my next business stop. So hope you enjoyed that interview. Check out his podcast and converse with him on the forum if you want. Until next time, folks, by the way, I'm sorry it's been a while since I put out a show. Just been real busy with work lately. Thank you very much, all of you who have sent me emails saying, hey, Bob, where's another prepping show? Give us another survival show, please. Sorry it took so long, but now you got one, and I'll try to get these put out on a more regular basis again. So thanks for listening to another episode of Today's Survival Show, a practical no tin foil hat type of podcast. It's my goal to help you do what you can with what you have wherever you are. Thanks for tuning in, folks. I'll catch you next time. Goodbye.